Welcome to Asset Finance Connect's series of podcasts on the European asset finance industry. I'm Richard O'Donoghue, and over the next few months, I'll be chatting to industry experts about the challenges and opportunities facing our industry in 2025 and beyond. All this is possible with the sponsorship of Alpha. And today, I'm delighted to be joined by two members of the Alpha team, Emily Hammond and John Murray, to discuss the topic of e-invoicing.
I'm Emily Hammond. I'm the Director of Product at Alpha. I started my career in trading at investment banks. So I think what that has taught me is that it's really important to have systems with very real-time, accurate data, and that you just kind of rely on those. So it's one thing that is very close to my heart. When it comes to
an investment banker with a heart. Wow.
I know, right? It's amazing. I was a bit of an idiosyncratic investment banker.
Excellent. And John, what about you?
Yes, I'm John Murray. I'm a director at Alpha, working in the office of the CTO. So I've not been in investment banking. I've been at Alpha for 15 years, working on a number of major projects implementing Alpha systems across Europe. Lots of experience in the solution architecture space, so that's helping connect Alpha into all the different systems within our organization's landscapes. So a lot of e-invoicing fun to come with that, and hopefully give some insights.
Great. So we have kind of a mix of finance backgrounds and technical backgrounds. And look, I guess I have a bit of a confession to make. I, in my day-to-day job, work for a company that processes thousands of invoices, but frankly, the operational side of the business, I'm not particularly familiar with either. So this is a good primer for me. And I'm going to start at a really basic question, which is, what is e-invoicing?
Right. So as just kind of a definition, it's a direct data transfer of invoices, could be credit notes, also adjustment invoices, or everything to do with invoices between the different counterparties that are involved, and covers both the ability to send data and also the ability to receive data. It kind of needs to have two different functions in order to count as e-invoicing, so that it needs to be sort of created in the correct structure to be machine readable, and it needs to be transferred almost directly from the seller system to the buyer system.
Okay, so it's different from, you know, the ignorant view, which will be mine, of you attach a PDF to an email. That's not what we're talking about today.
No. So, yeah, there's very clear of what it is not. It is not unstructured data that is in kind of a PDF form or a Word form. It's not images of an invoice, so a JPEG of that. It isn't something where you've faxed something, scanned something, or you've done some OCR on it. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about sort of transfer of actual structured data that is automatically imported into people's AP systems. It could include, at some point, some visual presentation. So, you know, you could temporarily render it as a PDF if you wanted to show that in the system. But what we're talking about when it comes to the e-invoicing is this actual transfer of the structured data itself.
So it's machine to machine, in essence. It's two machines speaking to each other. And I know I attended an event in London towards the end of last year, and this topic came up. And I guess the question is, why is this coming up more and more? Why is this relevant? Why should our listeners care?
So I suppose why it's becoming important today is around regulators. So they are driving the adoption here. And if you allow me to, I'll give a brief history lesson. I won't be too boring. That otherwise we'll be here all day. But 2017, the European Commission sort of introduced a standard in terms of trying to drive forward this definition effectively of e-invoicing. The idea is to try and sort of encourage economic growth by reducing the friction of allowing invoice data to be passed between the different countries itself. So that's where this has all sort of come about from. Now, that sort of hit didn't get any movement really, because a number of countries just looked at it and said, oh, we're just going to wait and see what actually comes out of this. But one of the big drivers which has come through just recently this year is the concept of VIDA, which is VAT in the digital age, and that's been adopted now by the EU and has some deadlines coming up. So in particular for B2B transactions, we're going to need to see countries starting to mandate and enforce that by the 1st of July in 2030. So that's why it's becoming important. The regulators are really kicking into this now and wanting to move forward with this.
And is it only in the EU, John, or are we seeing this in other parts of the world, similar legislation coming in?
I think because of the benefits of e-invoicing, we're seeing countries look to drive this forward, because ideally by making things more efficient, you're going to see economic growth. There's also the concept of this VAT gap, where VAT is going missing because of fraud. So countries are looking to really sort of drive into that. And this area is one of the benefits you can get in terms of reducing that aspect.
Great. And again, I mean, we've kind of, you know, there's always a maybe negative connotation around regulation. It's just being brought in. You know, you mentioned a VAT gap, which is obviously a very legitimate reason. But are there business benefits to companies that adopt e-invoicing?
Yes, there should be. But it is very important that the way that the regulation is structured to try and make sure that those benefits come out. And that's, I guess, one of the reasons why the UK government at the moment is putting a process in place where they're trying to get feedback in terms of what would be the right way of doing this. But it does kind of need to be standardised, and it probably needs to be mandatory across quite a wide range of the economy to be able to get these benefits. But you see benefits like, such as the primary benefit being the reduction in the need for manual processing.
Right.
So, you know, even with digital invoices, the ones, PDFs, etc., people think, oh, well, I might be able to get a reduction in processing from that. But even with that, you've got to have people who are checking it or allocating it to the right place. And you know, yep, you could use a bit of OCR, etc., to do and help you with that. But from e-invoicing itself, it really can automate that process. So, you know, you're looking at things like invoicing costs reducing by about 60 to 80%.
Wow.
So that's the primary one. You also have secondary ones as well. So if you're looking at the fact that you can now get real-time visibility, you know, the thing that's close to my heart, you can see things come in. You can see the data come in quickly. You know what your position is at any one time. You know where
you're sounding like a trader by the moment.
I know. But you can use that data then as well. So you can use that for other things if you know you've got accurate real-time data. So, I mean, it's that for one thing, if you're looking sort of in the future, sort of fraud analysis, for example, you could use that data for, make sure that everything, you know, that you can do that and you can analyse it, send it to AI models to have a look and see what happens with that. You can have way more accuracy about where what your position is, where you're currently sitting. But what that also helps with is probably getting access to more financing and getting better cash flows as well. So you know what you've got to chase up when you've got to chase it up. So it is much better for SMEs there as well to be able to get that access to financing. And the other thing as well that, you know, is coming up is the emissions reporting.
Yeah.
And for that, again, it can be included in those invoicing. You're really getting an accurate representation of where you are, and you can feed that into those emissions reports as well. So it should help you with your VAT returns, your emissions report, any sort of compliance requirements that you have, and just speed up those processes too.
I think what's great about it, as you've described it, is, you know, the regulatory environment is somewhat uncertain at times, you know, particularly with the geopolitical world we live in, and things come and go. There's more emphasis, less emphasis at times. But you've also talked about the business benefits of having real-time data. I'm starting to sound like you now, Emily. But also accurate data, which is critically important. And obviously there's cost benefits as well. So, you know, it's great that it isn't just a regulatory play. It's a broader business play. And I guess that kind of brings me on to the obvious next question, which is, what is the state of readiness across maybe companies that you're working with? Or what's your view as to, are companies ready to adopt this, and are they getting the benefits from it?
It's sort of mixed results at the moment, I think, in terms of what we're seeing across the EU itself. So certain countries have moved ahead with this pretty readily. So Italy's a good example. They're already in place. They've mandated e-invoicing, and that sort of forced companies to start to do this. Other countries, such as France, for example, are doing more of a phased rollout and actually pushing out timelines as well. So what we're seeing for those organisations, there's not necessarily that drive to actually do it straight away. it's also the size of organization as well, because you need, if you're going to invest in technology to sort of put in e-invoicing, you're going to want a return on investment for that. So a larger organization is going to get that gain by automating this process itself. While smaller to medium enterprises, not necessarily going to see that. So if you're only doing a few hundred invoices a day, do I really want to invest in a system and actually push that all the way through? So I think that's where the adoption is at the moment. Certain countries have moved faster than others, and the size of the industry, the enterprise company itself, is also driving that.
And do you have a feel for, you know, why initially would kind of regulators say, we're going forward with this versus in France, it's a slower adoption? I mean, what's driving that?
I think it just comes down to the country itself in terms of how applicable it is for them and how easy it is. We have seen certain areas like the Nordics, what they've done is actually harmonise on a standard, and that's enabled the different organisations in that region to basically move much more fastly to get that going. So I think there's no real key sort of reason why one country would do the other. Some of them are just differing, they're just waiting for other sort of countries to move forward.
It sounds like the standards is a great way forward, and no surprise that the Nordics, who tend to adopt new things relatively quickly, are an early adopter. So how can you help companies that maybe are starting on this journey?
So at AlphaOS, we talk to a lot of clients and we try and really understand the market as well, and especially, you know, as part of my role and part of John's role, is more on the technical side. So what we have done is, you know, is go out and talk to some of our clients as well in terms of what are they doing, how can they learn from each other about what they're doing. So we hold things called user groups. We have one a couple of weeks ago in Stockholm, where we got our Scandinavian clients together, and again, that's where they can then learn what are the different approaches that they are doing, because it is one of the things that's coming up as sort of a pain point that they can see in the future that they need to do something about. So, you know, that's one thing. It's then sort of putting those together. But we have been working with some of our clients as well, some of the more, I guess, forward-looking clients who are already going out and implementing the e-invoicing solutions as well. So we have managed to get our data. We are a very flexible platform with which, you know, you can store the data in lots of different ways, and you can run a whole load of reports from that. But, you know, all of the invoice data is there and stored. So it's pretty easy for us to then go do a sort of a no-code integration and extract the right data, transform that data into what is needed by the e-invoicing software providers. And those e-invoicing software providers are the ones who will then transmit that data, send it maybe to the government agencies where they need it for the VAT reporting, so those central agencies, but will also then send it on to the counterparties as well. So it's them working with your software provider to make sure that you can then structure the data in those ways. But what I would say, the first thing that you probably need to do as well is to try and understand where you are and what you need to do. I mean, from what John was saying, there are regulations out there. These have been in flux, right? There was one lot that was there in 2017. That was the first one. And at that point, there weren't many standards in place. So every country had its own standard. Then what we're coming to is the VIDA, where we've got a lot more standard across the board. We've got this PEPL standard that is generally being used across Europe, but also forms the basis of the US and Singapore and, you know, some of the other countries as well. So it's what do you need to do and when do you need to do it? Because the individual country ones are also then scaled across the that timeline.
And from an Alpha Systems perspective, that flexibility is going to be key there. Because what we're seeing now is all these slightly different standards are sort of floating around. For example, in France, they've got a slightly different model in terms of, rather than just having one standard, they're allowing private companies to effectively be this sort of clearinghouse. So it's this sort of decentralized model in terms of how they're allowing the data to be passed through to the government agencies. And that's then just creating multiple standards, which makes harmonization difficult. So the benefit of Alpha Systems there is we have very flexible APIs. You can get that data out, and then it allows that sort of working with different standards to be aligned much more easily.
And I guess for a company investing in it today, the concern is that the standard that they believe they're operating towards could change by the time, you know, they're up and running. So this customizable, flexible approach is really critical.
Yeah, for the UK, we don't know what it's going to be yet. I mean, I think, you know, there's obviously the hope that the consultation will lead to going with the PEPL standard, but it hasn't been outlined as such yet. You just need to maintain that flexibility and just build that into your roadmap. You know, who are you working with? How can we make sure that I have that? Have we have that flexibility to be able to meet those standards when they come out as well? Yeah. But also, you know, sort of forward-looking software companies who can do that transformation for you as well. And, you know, you kind of want to be able to do it in an easy no-code way so that you can do it to meet the different needs that you've got. Because you also might then need to use different e-invoicing software providers as well, and it's how do you get that data to that and make sure that you've got a software provider who can manipulate that data for you.
And you mentioned user groups, and specifically in the Nordics last week. I mean, just as you're describing it, and it's in a bit of a state of flux. I don't know if that translates very well, but, you know, it's moving. Is that the feedback you get from user groups, that this is a bit confusing, we don't quite know what we're doing here, or what are the user groups saying?
Yeah, I think it is. It is a bit confusing at the moment. It's one of the things that is a concern for them, because it's the different levels of regulation of it as well. So you might have the overall European level of regulation, but then you've got the different ones at the different country level as well. So how are they supposed to deal with that, and then the different time frames for it as well, and who's out there that can be that e-invoicing software provider, which one should they trust to go and be able to manage their whole portfolio, right? If they're multi-country, then it can't just be someone who's a single country provider. So how do they do that? So it is one where they are really wanting to talk to each other, understand what other people might be doing to solve those kind of pain points as well.
Correct.
And then try and lean on our expertise as well that we've got, because we're doing it, or talking to other clients who might be multi-country.
And I think that lines up to what the consultations that a number of the European Union states are doing as well. So Ireland recently did one end of last year, and they got feedback from the wider industry, and those pain points are really there in terms of that lack of harmonisation of the standards and understanding the timelines is sort of making them wary in terms of what they want to do. So I feel we're seeing this across the whole of the EU at the moment, and it's not just in the asset finance industry itself.
So I guess the message is stay tuned, watch this space. You're going to need flexibility. There's business benefits to doing this, but the regulatory environment is moving. There's some countries that are more advanced than others, and it's that, you know, flexibility is going to be important as people go along this journey.
Yeah,
final question. Sorry, Emily, you wanted to...
I was going to say yes, and just make sure you're talking to the right people to get the information, because you don't want to be digging into all the EU documentation and regulation, because it's really dull.
I don't understand why you're saying that, Emily. I love spending my weekend reading EU documents. Final question. You kind of alluded to it, Emily, and I know, John, it's an area you're interested in. You mentioned AI. You mentioned no code. You know, we had a previous podcast with Richard Hammond, Richard Houston from Vamos. We had a previous podcast with Richard Houston from Vamos, and, you know, I was asking him a bit about AI generally and being a little bit provocative around, you know, is this really going to deliver what it's been promised to deliver? How do you see AI fitting into this space?
Well, I think this, and it may be a slightly controversial view here, there is a bit of a risk that all this work we're doing with e-invoicing and all the standardisation could become redundant. Because the rise of AI at the moment is doing some quite creative and interesting things. Now, yes, there's a bit of hype right now. There's not particularly too many use cases which are being productionized. But if you look at the rate at which AI is improving, in the future, you can spit your invoice into some large language model and it will just read it and understand all that data. So why are we spending a lot of effort sort of defining standards and doing all this change management, especially on the SME side, to take that data and do all this sort of technical work to move it around, when actually in the future there could be a really simple solution there of just spitting it into some large language model and getting it all out again? So it's going to be interesting to see over the next 5 years how that works. Will the government agencies and will other technical companies sort of use AI effectively to help get those efficiencies, or will we just end up building something which will then just get replaced in a few years' time?
Presumably, though, you will need data in a particular format. It'll need to be scrubbed, it'll need to be clean, you're consistent. So some of the underlying work, leave aside the kind of software element of it, some of the underlying work that you would do now would be applicable in an AI-driven world.
Exactly, and like structured data is perfect for AI. So there's certainly things we can do today by putting those standards in place which will help. And certainly the government agencies will want some kind of standardisation on their side. But I think it's that bit in between of, at the moment, those smaller companies are not investing and won't adopt this, and maybe AI can help them. It's just how much work you do there, all this harmonisation, all this effort could be a bit redundant.
It's an interesting point, and I guess the world can't wait for AI to do everything. We sort of have to move forward, and I guess that some of the things we do now will be still of value even if we move more towards an AI-driven world, but we can't just sit around and wait and assume that, yeah, the technology will move in a way that enables us to avoid all of this. And I'm sure that's not Alpha's message either, but I do like the fact that, you know, you're thinking ahead and identifying that the way we invoice and the whole approach we take could be radically different in the future versus how we do it today.
I mean, exactly. You still need the right data right underneath it. And that's, you know, probably the key message is you've got the PEPL standard. You need to have the right data that, you know, available in your system and flexibly available. And as you said, clean, real time, being produced on demand, so that even if you did then want to use AI to do something with it and do the transformation, then you could do that, because otherwise you're going to get rubbish out. So, you know, that's, I think, the first step that everyone has to have a look at now and make sure that they know what's in that PEPL standard, if that's the thing that everyone's going to go with, and that you've got the data in your data store to be able to meet that.
Great. Well, Emily, John, thanks for joining us today on the podcast. E-invoicing turned out to be a lot more interesting than I anticipated. So well done on kind of bringing it to life. And I'm going to head off now and read all of these EU regulations and come back as an expert by Monday. So thanks very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Asset Finance Connect, sponsored by Alpha. Lots of people listening will argue that Europe is overregulated and that e-invoicing is yet another example of this. The fact that the regulatory environment around e-invoicing is uncertain and there's no known final position supports this argument. However, my takeaway is that regardless of the regulatory environment, e-invoicing offers huge potential benefits to businesses, and it's something that merits more attention from business leaders. This is our last podcast before the European Leaders Summit. If you're attending, I hope to see you at the session on vendor finance, where I'll be getting the views of four captive finance companies on trends in the industry and the opportunities for partnership. Drop by, get involved in the discussion, and say hello afterwards. If you're not attending, look out for future podcasts following the event. Thanks for listening.